Now, we will look at the causes of the problems and difficulties that we have. And remember this, the first step to any solution is number one, repentance, and number two, change of behavior. Return to God and obey Him. One of the fallacies that they have in making laws is this, and this is how homosexuality started to come to the fore. And it actually happened in a case in Texas where there were some homosexuals arrested for practicing their wares in a house. And the Supreme Court ruled that in the privacy of a home, a person can do anything that they want, as it does not affect others. However, look at what that one little sprout has brought about. Has it affected others? Yes, indeed. And it grows. That's why we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because sin is likened unto leaven during that time. Let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's see what God says. Let's see what God says. Now think about it as we read this. Think about this nation. Think about Britain. Think about Northwestern Europe. Think about it in particularly Holland today, where they have legalized drugs, legalized pot, and the whole society is coming apart. Think about the inner cities, where there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of drugs, there are a lot of lawlessness going on. Think about the suburbs where there's a lot of illicit sex activity and drugs going on and sin, and especially the breaking of the Sabbath with all of the activities. See? So let's read it here. Verse 2, Isaiah, the first chapter. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Now you see, God has given us a witness of the heavens and the earth that His word is true. And He will carry out what He says. Okay? For the Lord has spoken, I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. And He's given them plenty of time to repent. He gave plenty of time to Israel, northern Israel, the 10 tribes that were separated. Yes. He gave plenty of time. How long? 232 years. Before they were taken out into captivity. You think that's long enough to give a generation's chance to repent? Yes, indeed. The ox knows his owner, the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. How bad will it get? Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. Is our government sick from the head? Yes. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it. Only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Your country is a desolation. Have we been progressively becoming a desolation? Remember, like I said, punishments of God come like waves. Comes a wave of punishment. If there's no repentance, another wave of punishment. If there's no repentance, another wave of punishment. What are God's punishments? Rise of crime, weather, drought, fire. Sound a little bit like local news? Yes, indeed. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence. And now, they are coming by the thousands and tens of thousands of children in a coordinated effort. And remember what the prophecy says? We'll read it a little later. Yes, there it is. and it is wasted as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city. Now, verse number 9 talks about us. Okay? How important is the church in all of this? Very important. What happens when the church falls victim to the ways of the world? Who's going to stand for the truth? Who's going to look for righteousness? Who is going to preach warnings? See? All right, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. Now, we need to think on that. We would have been as Sodom, and we would have become like Gomorrah. What happened to them? No one left alive. And even Lot and his wife and two daughters that escaped, they weren't very righteous, were they? The angel told him, don't look, don't turn around to look behind. His wife just couldn't avoid it. I gotta see it. Boom! Pillar of salt. And even Josephus said, tourists in his days were going to see that pillar of salt that was being worn down, which was Lot's wife. Okay? So that's how serious it is. Hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. So they have all their religion, all the things that they do. And who required of it? Their Sabbaths, their new moons, their holy days, etc. Verse 14, he says, your appointed feast, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Lent, all of those things. God says, my soul hates. So if there's going to be any repentance, it's going to have to start in the pulpits of the Sunday-keeping churches. But how's that going to happen when they have been so infiltrated with dedicated Jesuits and Satanists and one-world religionists? Won't happen, okay? He said, they're a trouble to me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. Huh. Look at all the murders in the cities. But look at what the law has done to create one of the greatest lawlessness, giving women the right to commit murder through abortion. Now, we know about the second resurrection, don't we? So we can handle that kind of thing knowing that God is eventually going to undo it. But the point is, it never really needed to get that way. See? Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. So notice, every time that there is a warning of vast correction and judgment and destruction and death, God offers repentance. Did we not see that with Pentecost? What happens? 2 years into the tribulation, boom, the heavens opened, and guess what? 144,000 greater innumerable multitude repent. Isn't that an amazing thing? A demonstration to God that he's a God of love and mercy, but he's also a God of love, also a God of judgment. And if you wind a fight against him, your chances of success are less than zero. Okay? Verse 17, learn to do good. Have to be taught. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water, your rulers are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe, is pursuing rewards. They do not judge the orphan, nor do they does the cause of the widow come before them. Boy, what a denunciation of the system of man. Has it come upon us? Yes, indeed it has. And Lord, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel says, alas, I myself will vent my wrath upon my foes and will avenge myself of my enemies. And I will turn back my hand upon you and purge away your dross as with lye and take away all your tin alloy. Then he says, I will restore you. So this is also an end time message blending in into the millennium, and chapter 2 starts out with the millennium, does it not? Yes, indeed. How did we ever get this way? How did it start? Well, let's come to Isaiah 55. Let's see. Not 55, 5. I'm seeing double. No. Isaiah 5, okay. Now go ahead and read the whole thing yourself. And look at the woes. There are 7 woes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then there's a woe in another chapter, okay? Verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Boy, doesn't that sound like our entertainment industry? Our music industry? Remember the disgrace? I think it was the Super Bowl. If it wasn't the Super Bowl, it was some other. Yeah, no, it was the one of the Hollywood productions that it was just absolutely gross beyond belief, okay? And sin with cart ropes, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work. Oh, yes, let's have all the atheists stand up there and mock God. And they will. They'll mock God, okay? Now, a little sidebar about atheists here for just a minute, just to show you how true the Word of God is. Remember what happened when the flood came. What did it say? The rain came, and what else happened? The fountains of the deep were broken up. They have now discovered that there's enough water held in the earth in a little different form than water like we have in the oceans and in the clouds, but can be transformed into that by God in nothing flat, that is more than all the water in all the oceans of the world. So is the Word of God true? Yes, indeed. All right, when we read these things, is the Word of God true? Yes, indeed. It will happen, see? Verse 20 is the key. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And how did that start? Let's just look at America and Britain. How did that start? I bet most people won't even understand how it started. With Sunday keeping. Why? Because they knowingly were breaking the Sabbath. And how many decades and centuries have they had a witness against it? See? And when you read Rome's challenge to the Protestants there in 1893, which is Appendix N in the Bible, be sure and read it. They had their final warning from God as to their Sunday keeping, and all of the Protestants after that answered with a statement. That's why when you read all the statements about what the Protestants say about the Sabbath, they're in the 1870s, 80s, 1890s, and the early 1900s, that the Bible teaches the seventh-day Sabbath. Okay? That is the basis of everything that has gone wrong from there, because they say the law's been done away. Now, if the law's done away, what do you create? Lawlessness. Not all at once. Incrementally. A bit at a time, one generation, another generation. And then there's coming back to God partially, like it says there in Psalm 78, they returned to God and flattered him. And he forgave them because he knew they were weak. Then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And what happens? We go through economic bad times because the word of God has not been preached. The truth of God has not been preached. You do a little history of the roaring 20s, and that's kind of like sandbox compared to what's going to happen. And then you look at the whole Midwest of the United States in the 30s, and what happened? The Dust Bowl, starvation, right in America because they turned their backs on God. Well, they returned to God somewhat in the Second World War, and because Germany was more evil than the rest of the world, as well as Japan, God raised us up to get rid of them. But what did we do after we conquered them? Well, we gradually adopted all of their evil. And now we're pushing it to its extremes. Okay? Call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Yes, we'll get along without God. Yes, we'll make ourselves good. No, you won't. You know what happens to them all? They can't get rid of the law of sin and death within, can they? Yes. Woe to those, to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Don't think that hard drugs, as we know it today, were not available back then. How long has opium been grown in Afghanistan? Going way back. Okay? They even had opium in the days of the Roman Empire. How far back does that go? Okay. Verse 23, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteousness from him. So what's going to happen? Here's what God is going to do. He's going to use other people to do this. Okay? That's why I started where I started. Because some of this is pretty heavy stuff. But what's happening in society is pretty heavy stuff too, isn't it? And it's going to be in measure to it, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness and their blossom shall go up like dust. Because, like I said, started with Sunday, they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Okay? We'll see this happen. It happened. Remember this. It happened to Jerusalem in 586 B.C. It was destroyed. And it happened in 70 A.D. And not by coincidence. It fell in 586 on the 9th and 10th of Ab on the calculated Hebrew calendar. And in 70 AD, it fell on the 9th and 10th of Ab likewise. And what happened? Just like Jesus said, there was not one stone left upon another. When you look at the Temple Mount so-called, that's not where the temple stood, because those stones are sitting one on top of another. You are looking at Fort Antonio, Roman Empire property, okay? So then God is going to come after them, said their dead bodies will be in the streets. All right. Let's look at a couple of other things here that we need to understand. Let's come to Deuteronomy 28 for a minute. Now, if you don't have the CD with the reading of Deuteronomy 28 on it, And as we read some of these verses, I want to talk about the greatest blindness and affliction of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding and emotional identity that takes place with it. Because of our media, because of television, because of all the things available on different electronic devices that we have. We live in an environment of artificial reality, don't we? Show me. And if you can, DVR it, bring it to me, and I'll send it out to everybody. Show me one ad that does not portray everyone as happy, even though they read the side effects. And some of those things that they take for depression, they give a warning. You may have suicidal thoughts. What a wonderful drug that is. Yes, yes, yes. Look at it. Everyone smiling. Everyone happy. See? Artificial reality. And then you go watch the news, and the news really doesn't tell you the news because they're politically aligned and they don't want to disturb the next coming vote for Hillary Billery. Okay? One little caveat with Hillary. She put out her book, What a Great Secretary of State She Was. It's already published. It's black and white in a book. Now the whole Middle East is falling apart. Okay? Little justice by God, I think. And if she gets in, if you think this president was, just wait. But do we have enough women out there who think, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have a woman in there? So we will be broad-minded. We'll all vote for her. See? Yes. Just like they did. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have a black as a president, we will unburden ourselves of all of our prejudices by voting for him. Because it wasn't the black vote that put him in. It was the white vote. But little did they know that he was actually part of the punishment of God. And that's why he does what he does. Now, question. Put this just as a question mark. There is another election next year. Or this coming year, rather. Then there's another one 2 years after that. Is there going to be enough turnaround and turning from sin by enough people that maybe there can be a stop put to a lot of this and a little sanity returned? I don't know. I hope so. Because there's a whole lot of preaching the gospel that needs to be done, and we can't do it if the nation has disintegrated. So we just need to think about those things as well. So here, Deuteronomy 28, God says, let's read the first couple of verses here, verse 1. And it shall come to pass if, and there are over 1,700 ifs in the Bible, and most of those apply to us as human beings in relationship to God. Okay? Oh, and on our new Faithful Version website, we're going to have one of the best search engines possible. You know how long it takes to pop up the number of where it is, ifs in the Bible, and pull up all the scriptures one after the other to have them ready for you to watch? 4 seconds. So I'm going to repent of my chisel and stone. And I'm going to have for sermon preparation, I'm going to have on my iPad the whole Faithful Version where I can do whatever search I need to for whatever word, okay? But I'm still going to preach from the Bible, okay? Rather than from a notepad. Okay, end of sidebar. It shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now that did happen not because of obedience, but because of Abraham. The promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. There it is, obeying the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I won't go through all of the blessings. I won't go through all of the cursings. I will let you take care of that yourself. But I want to come to a section here that's important for us to understand. Okay? Let's come to verse 43. We've covered this before, but what did Jeremiah tell the people of Israel? That God sent his prophets again and again and again, didn't he? Yes. So if we repeat some of these things, it's well worth understanding, because from the last time I read it, the number of strangers in the land has grown greatly. So let's read it. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. No one likes that. Now remember, Word of God is true and will be fulfilled to the nth degree. The only caveat to change it is repentance. And with those in the church, you have to maintain your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ by loving them with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your being, see. We're coming down to the close of the age, and we have greater things laid upon us than at any other period of the history of the church. And we have more given to us that we need to respond to God, see. Okay? He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all, the whole chapter, these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Now notice why this applies to us today. And they shall be on you for a sign and a wonder and on your seed forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And look at, we have it today, don't we? You open your refrigerator, there's so much in there, you wonder what you're going to eat. You look at this and say, oh, I had that yesterday. You look at that and said, well, I ate that for breakfast. You look at the other thing and say, well, I had that for dinner. Okay? And many times you have enough that you fix it up and you live on leftovers for a couple of days. Now think about those in Darfur. Famine, hatred, killing. If you're a Christian, your head's going to be on a pole, not on your neck. Okay? They will come. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in the want of all things, and without your cell phone and without your iPad and without your computer, I add for the modern nuance of that. Okay. Now there are many other scriptures that I can go into and cover. Okay. Let's look at just a couple of them. Let's come here to Leviticus 18. Okay, we'll spend a little time in the book of Leviticus, and then I'll pick it up here next week, some of the things that are happening, okay? Let's come to Leviticus 18. And this becomes the crux of the start of lawlessness. And it has to do with two commandments. Not only the first four, but let's get to the commandments relating to people, okay? Starts with commandment number 5, not honoring father and mother. And how many young people die because they don't do it? Okay? Then the next one is, you shall not murder. Then the next one that is the greatest temptation of all human beings, male and female, are sex sins. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? All right? So let's read it. Leviticus 18 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. And as they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Then he lists all of the sex sins, beginning with incest. Okay? Then we come over here to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. I'll let you read all of it. And all of these are problems that you have. Don't steal. Don't swear by his name. Verse 13, don't defraud. Don't curse the deaf. Verse 15, don't do any unrighteousness in judgment. Verse 16, do not go as a slanderer among your people. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not avenge or bear any grudge against children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. All right? And come down all the way to verse 29. The goal of sex education in school and all the birth control devices and all the sex toys that are available. And if you want to know how many of those there are, why don't you talk to any TSA agent? You will be amazed. Okay? Here is the number one goal that they want, because Satan has inspired it, because Satan knows that when the women of the land become horrors, the land is doomed for destruction. A lot of people think God picks on women. He picks on men, but he picks on women. Why? Because when they get involved in sex, it brings about more problems, because children come along, yes? Okay? And women are a special creation of God so that he can recreate human beings through husband and wife, mother and father. Okay? Now, men have great weaknesses when it comes to women, and their minds run toward sex very quickly. And so the goal is to prostitute all the girls as quickly as you can, beginning in junior high. Now, let's read verse 29. You shall not prostitute your daughters to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredoms and the land become full of wickedness. Does that not describe us today? Yes, indeed. Now, what is that going to do? Let's read on in chapter 20. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, any one of the children of Israel or of the strangers who lives in Israel that gives any of his children to Moloch. Now, what was that? That was child sacrifice. And what was that? Birth control, murdering children, after birth, now abortion, before birth. But you see, the truth of the matter is, every human being is what he or she is at the instant of conception. The only difference between that is growth to a baby, and then brought into the world, and growth to an adult. Okay? If you offer any of your children to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given his seed to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives his children to Moloch and do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man, against his family, will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring with him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. Now God also told him that if you do these things after the way that the Canaanites do, all of these illegal sexual practices. I'll let you read them, okay? Then the land will vomit you out, just like it has vomited them out. So that's where we stand in a lot of these things. Now, once you do that, and that lawlessness spreads throughout the land, it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And look, we go back in our childhood, and I go back and look at things that I did, which my mom and dad didn't want me to do, okay? And you know the same thing that you did. But what happens with each generation, as it goes down and down and down, it gets worse. And pretty soon, everyone is corrupted, just like it says there in Isaiah, the first chapter, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, everyone is afflicted by it. So we'll cover some more of this. But we need to understand that we have a part in this to stand against it, to preach the truth, and to ask God to have all of his churches stand and witness against it, because that's what we are supposed to do. And that's going to take courage, and that's going to take love, and that's going to take obedience, and that's going to take tithes and offerings, and that's going to take God opening doors, and that's going to take us being diligent with all of the Word of God, diligent in how we live our lives, diligent in how we love each other. All of those things are going to come together. So it's important that we know. It's important that we look out and see the waves of correction as they come. And it's important that we give warnings. And it's important to us, lest we end up living in a fairy tale reality and we forget God and enter into a full-blown Laodiceanism where God has to spew us out of his mouth. So we'll continue next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.